Screaming, screaming. Wow.
Is ESPN going to sue ESPN for you showing ESPN on an ESPN property?
We'll find out. Welcome to Debatable, a live fake television show where we show you ESPN on fake ESPN. That is Dominique Foxworth. That is Israel Gutierrez. This is how it ends. This.
There's the music. I thought that maybe my headphones were just down or something. Don't we have like sexier music for the After Dark show? Like this is daytime music. I need to slow it down for me.
Yeah, this is definitely out of bed music.
Yeah, yeah. We need like someone to like take a nice long walk along a bass line for us, you know? Maybe get a jazz flute.
Walk along the baseline and probably step out of bounds and turn the ball over if you are wearing the green and white.
If your name begins with the letters J-A-Y, that is probably how your walk is going to go. This is the time where we fire off all the takes that we have left because this is the end of the NBA season. The Golden State Warriors, spoiler alert, I'm pointing to my television, they won.
What is Al Horford saying in the locker room right now?
Oh, man.
He's furious because he gave all of his oldness over to this team. The last of what was left in the tank, his one finals appearance. And
I didn't even know he had anything close to that much left in the tank. And then he just keeps showing more and a little bit more. And then it's frank because they can't do anything but turn the ball over.
So you want to start the show with Steph Curry, not...
Al Horford. Are we really going to start the show with Al Horford?
You don't want to talk about what Al Horford is trying to say through his muffled oxygen tank right now?
You know, we can get into the implications of Al Horford not winning a ring later, but I think we should start with the Warriors winning this title. This dynasty that we thought was over is back, and the central heliocentric force of that dynasty is Stephen Curry. Everything revolves around his gravity. And my question, what does this fourth title do for Steph Curry?
It's a big chair.
That was me heliocentrifically rotating.
No, that's not like you can't. You did like a 360 to like orbit something.
You guys got to orbit me.
Need to make. Oh, you're implying that you are the sun. Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh, we're off to a bad start. So you're Steph. Anyway, Steph Curry's really good. We knew that before, but I do think that this feels like an unnecessary, but also kind of necessary coronation. Not only the MVP that he is probably getting over Pablo's shoulder right now, but also the fourth title. Like that's an elite class that he's entered. A person in that class also named LeBron James, who I'm sure is probably tweeting about how he knew this was going to happen and he always believed in Steph Curry.
So Steph is the 34-7, 6 of 11 from 3, had the dagger, parentheses S, depending on when you think this game actually ended. You could argue that it happened. Yeah, like somewhere.
At this point is when it ended, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whenever he pointed to his ring finger.
No, it was this point. It was when Draymond did the quiet down after hitting a mid-range two. And then it's kind of like when we saw White in the crowd of that one Boston game. I was like, no, they can't lose now. Draymond hit a three early in the game and then hit an uncontested long jumper. I was like, all right, you can't win. If Draymond's going to be hitting those, you're done.
I thought he was doing the Birdman for a second, but he was telling everybody to sit down. But in the micro here, before we get to sort of Steph's place in the top 10 of all time, because he just got there. I don't know if you saw the fanfare, but he did. this game and this series, like, obviously he went 0-for-9 in the last game. People wondered what was wrong with his finger, etc. But as this series went along, not only was it when the Warriors needed it most, which was in that game four, that he provided it as the clear number one option on that team. And there's not even like a number two, right? I mean, maybe it's Clay if he's going, maybe it's Jordan Poole if he's allowed
to stay on
the floor.
It's Wiggins
right now, taking advantage of basically open opportunities, right? He's not creating for himself that much. It was all Steph. And then as the series goes along, even after he goes 0-for-9 in the last one, in this game tonight, it's almost as if the Celtics were just fatigued with defending him. They tried, you know, they tried to drop coverage, got mocked for it. It worked a little bit. Then toward the end, like in this game, people are mocking them because they got Al Horford on him one-on-one, like for consecutive possessions. And it's just, it just takes such an effort to constantly have to run a defense against Steph Curry. And this defense that I thought was the best, everybody thought was the best in the league and had been since January, just looked like it suddenly had holes in it. And then all of a sudden the offense, you know, on the other side, the Warriors, they have to get a lot of credit for that. That's the Draymond Green effect, really, is they figured out ways to defend this Boston team. And I'll get to this later, but Jason Tatum took himself out of the game.
Yeah, well, hold on. We got to put a pin in Jason Tatum. And by the way, Jason Tatum, you know, I think there's probably a voodoo doll that someone literally put pins into based on how he played, it turns out. But the way that Steph Curry won this game for the Warriors, right? Like, to me, what did it do? Dominique used a modifier in his answer before that I want to very vociferously reject. He said it kind of matters. It's kind of important. It's not kind of. It's very important for a very simple reason. 5 years from now, 5 weeks from now, 5 months from now, we are going to shrink this series into like a sentence. We're not going to remember all of the nuance, all of the details, the turnover stuff we're going to talk about, all of that
stuff. I think you should take it a step further. Like 10 years from now, we're going to shrink his whole career into a series of numbers and sentences. And you're right. This is huge when it comes to that. I think in the moment, it doesn't feel very big, but I think you're right. 15, 20 years from now, having four titles, the same as LeBron, assuming that's where we end, is going to mean
finals
a whole lot.
MVP, and a finals MVP, which is the thing that he did not have.
A couple days.
In a year where there was all the in a year where there was all this parody,
come out and punch you in the face.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. In a year where there was all this parody, like the guy who was probably the best in the, I mean, are we calling him the best in the game? I think feel like that kind of jumps around from Giannis to KD to Steph when he's on.
If but there's any
he
night
rose
to do it,
and
it
carried
is certainly
his team.
This one. Yes.
Absolutely. He rose and carried his team the same way we expected Giannis to do it. We saw him do it last year. And because he has done it in a variety of ways without Kevin Durant the first time with the surprisingly elite team, with Kevin Durant twice, and now this as by far the best player on his team and getting the flowers he deserves, I think it just sort of it puts a paperclip, if not a staple, something a little bit more firm on, yeah, he's in the top 10. He's still got room to go. He could still get a couple more, but he is, yeah, he's one of them.
Yes, we're putting this in permanent marker alabaster. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry, top 10 player of all time. I'm there. I was ready. I was just waiting for this specific moment for the box score to go official for us to declare it, but I'm there.
Well, and I think that this is an important discussion to have, because what Steph did too is like, yes, he went 0 for 9 in game 5 from 3, but he also was incredibly effective in other ways. And I know you're mostly trolling about that, Dominique, with the, you know, 8 assists and 1 turnover. But this is the most dominant we've seen him as a small guard in the playoffs throughout his entire run. He's been excellent for 4 straight rounds. And just like we saw that when LeBron went back to Cleveland, like Giannis dropping his 50-burger in the finals last year, these performances that sort of sear in your memory, they matter for how we, like, deify these basketball players. So, like, I don't know if this gets reduced down to a sentence. This is unprecedented. This is, like, I think we didn't think we'd see the Spurs again. A dynasty that could have different generations and grow and evolve. And Steph did this by himself. He's been the core of it.
It's going to be. I was this close. Sorry, Dominique. I was this close to saying, you know, big is the new small. Like that you'd have to go big now in the NBA. Defense is going to matter. Like you look at the Celtics, you look at some of these other teams. DeAndre Ayton is a big man that matters. Joel Embiid is a big man that matters. And it's just this tiny team just did it again. And they were smaller than the first time.
Pablo, A, can you put something better on your TV other than that? And I mean, I want to.
I want to see billionaires wear hats.
No,
you don't
no,
want to see
it's,
that.
It's after dark. We need to live on the edge. Click that thing over to HBO and let's see what happens, baby.
Watch Cinemax. I got a call to upgrade.
Do they still do that on Cinemax at night? Like, I feel like Google has probably knocked all. Oh yeah,
incognito mode has taken care of that.
Yeah, which is a lie. Don't perpetuate that lie. you better get a VPN or something. But anyway, I think that. So you said it's not going to get reduced to a sentence. That's ridiculous. Everyone gets reduced to a sentence at some point. So or a number. Like, as much as we love
George
Jordan,
Washington,
it's six
got
for six.
Reduced yeah. to a sentence.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's just a thing that happens. So I do understand that this is a big deal. But it also feels a bit, like, dishonest to make this whole finals about Steph. Because, honestly, this finals to me was about the Warriors' defense. Like, we keep talking about how well they played on offense. I'm not sure. 31 points. He scored a lot of points. But the thing that stood out to me, the most outstanding thing to me in the last several games, was how pathetic the Celtics' offense looked in important moments. And I guess you could say the Celtics just stink, or you could point out the fact that the Warriors were really good on defense throughout the course of this series. Like, tonight's game, to me, that was the difference. The Warriors being able to stop them. In the last one, too, the difference was the Warriors playing defense, not the Warriors being able to score.
This is the most Dominique take of all it's time. True. Alabaster.
Hold on. I cannot let this stand.
Yeah,
you
want to
talk about
away.
The Warriors' defense? Not like the most unprecedented guard we've ever seen having a coronation moment where he, like, separated himself. So he was already on the Mount Rushmore of this generation with LeBron and Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. And he separated himself from Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. It's like him and LeBron at the top of a generation. Like, this cementing himself in basketball history. And you want to talk about the defense? About Kevon Looney and Andrew Wiggins and Gary Payton the second?
But Wiggins and Payton, abso-damn-lutely. And so you guys are acting like I'm not the first one to say coronation. I said coronation. Now everyone's stealing my word, acting like I didn't say it. We did a coronation. We already did that.
Dominique wants to be coronated for saying coronation.
I coronated coronation on this show. And then I moved on to the deeper analysis, which is true. Like, we can celebrate Steph Curry. That's fine. That's what everybody's going to be doing. Nobody's talking about the real players like Gary Payton the second.
Okay. If we were to go into this series, before the series, and say between Andrew Wiggins and Jason Tatum, who had been the more impressive defensive player even? Yeah. Jason Tatum had an impressive defensive series. Jason Tatum should not be able to be taken out of a game that means everything for his team that easily.
A game?
I'm saying
exclamation point.
After, like, I've already seen what I needed to see. Like, he was like failing. He was not performing. And in this game, he thought, okay, maybe he can do something. Maybe he can turn around. Maybe he will be more aggressive. Maybe after holding the ball an entire day for every interview, which most people did in high school, after fumbling, then maybe he wouldn't turn the ball over. And he got taken out of the game so easily. Steph Van Gundy was giving him so much praise for making passes that role players make, like, over and over again. And I can't just sit there and kill Tatum. Like, I went on a notes thing, like I was Stephen A. Smith responding to Skip Bayless, giving the boneheaded play after boneheaded play for Jason Tatum. But then I realized on the other side, like, yeah, they took him out of the game. He took himself out of the game. You know who didn't, and you know who can't be taken out of this situation? Steph Curry. Say whatever you will about him not winning NBA Finals MVP, but the cream eventually rose, and that guy is so much better these spots than Jason Tatum.
Yeah. I mean, that was his competition? His competition was to be better than Jason Tatum? So, like, from an offensive standpoint, Steph Curry has all the answers. Like, his perfection of the mid-range game, as impressive as his shooting is, like, the fact that he has an answer to all of that, his ball handling
and
his
finishing
passing,
at the rim.
Yeah, like, the consistency of his floater and his mid-range shot, like, that makes him impossible to stop. That's great. We didn't learn that tonight, guys. We've been doing that.
But what we did get, and this is where Alabaster, I feel Alabaster's voice almost cracked, which I thought was impossible because he sounds like his voice is always cracked. But it sounds like his voice double cracked there, and I get it, because what we're watching in Steph Curry is the type of player I'm going to legitimately miss. There are only so many athletes where I'm like, man, that was fun. I miss watching him. Steph Curry is number one all time on that list for me. And so we can talk about all the hyperbolic titles, right? I mean, the literal titles, the four of them, but also, like, where is he in the top 10? Can he push even further into that? Is he the best offensive player of all time, right? Him, Michael Jordan, I think are on that medal stand in some order. I think it's those two guys, very, very genuinely. But the thing I'm going to miss the most, and this is where we get to, like, I don't know, a little bit of a morbid sort of part of the discussion is that when this is all over, I just want us to have appreciated this with the level of just like truly sincere fanboy shit of like, we got to watch, that's Clay in the background, I'm pointing at him. I meant to point at Steph. We got to watch this. We got to watch this. And it was as good as the YouTube compilations or whatever replaces YouTube compilations kids are going to watch.
Is Adam Silver paying you? Like, what are you talking about? Stop
this
it.
This is where amazing there was, happens.
There was not I one love this game. There was not one close game at the end of it. Like, let's cool it, okay? Like, we all love Steph Curry, but acting like we just saw, like,
you apparently don't. Don't love Steph Curry. Said Steph Curry got praise in 2018. We're good. Let's move no, on and no, talk no, about see, something else, is what we're saying.
What you are misunderstanding is I love him so much I didn't need tonight. Y'all acting like this is brand new. Like, this ain't who the guy been. That's my point. And I'm fine. I agree that this matters in the long, when we talk about this 10 years from now, because we're just going to count rings and count
obit.
Trophies.
Top of the obit. What does it say? Exactly.
It's absolutely going to matter. Then, right now, we're coming off the game. We can talk about what actually happened. And we can praise Steph in the process and also point out that the defense was the difference. But okay, nobody wants me on the show. Whatever. Talk about Steph Curry.
Hold on. This man went 0-for-9 in the one game and still averaged 5.2 made threes a game in this series. Like, this is not the type of stuff that you're going to be able to. And so what you're saying, Dominique, is not the greatest performance, even though that 43-point a must-have game four. Like, not the greatest performance ever by him. And yet we're going to take it for granted. Like, we're going to talk about it in what context?
I mean,
move it to the side talk about it after five and six.
The people who are watching this understand the word game that you just played and tried to change what I said into something that you wanted to say, but they also don't want to hear us argue about it. So I'm done. Say what you want to say about Steph Curry that hasn't been said. I feel like we've said it. I feel like we've been saying it for years. But if I have forgotten something, if I failed to let something, failed to say something when I started this show talking about coronations, then please fill in the gaps, fellas.
Alabaster was so afraid of jumping in that he pulled his card away. I just want to record that.
I was gonna. Now, thank you for inviting me back into the conversation. You're don't welcome. Mind if I do. I was gonna actually use the point that Izzy said that, you know, it really wasn't about the defense when the Warriors were on the brink of going down 3-1 and Steph pulled them out with impossible shot after impossible shot in that 43-point performance. But the thing to me, Dominique, that I think I disagree with you on is, we've praised Steph Curry. And you know what's amazing? That he keeps doing it. That it's 3 years later. It's, you know, with the diminished cast and these other people, and he still is able to produce this magic. That's
undeniable. Like, that's
and remember when we used to say the slightest tweak to his body would ruin him and he won't be able to be? Steph Curry's a well-oiled machine, but he had a foot issue, he had the finger thing.
So I totally agree that we almost didn't have this, and that should inform how much we should love having it, Dominique. Love this more. Dominique, I'm going to bully you into loving Steph Curry by the end of the show.
I love it so much, and I think that the most impressive thing is what Ali just laid on us. The idea that they have possibly recreated this dynasty again, potentially, off of still with Steph at the middle of it, and Steph playing as well as he has. Like, I do think that it speaks to everyone in the organization, frankly, what they've done, but I'm not going to go full Krauss and say that organizations win championships, not players. I think players do win championships, but that is the most impressive part. I think that is the recreation of Steph without actually recreating his game, but building around him again. I think that's outstanding and impressive and deserving of a coronation.
Wow. That was good. That was better. I could have used a little bit more, a little sloppier actually is nice. To get a little explicit about
it. I'm a warm up. I'm a warm up.
No, but we're okay. Dominique has now incepted me with the desire to like just make fun of the Celtics now, because
I want to hop there for a second.
Because we can
I'm
get
not
to
done
the
making love we, to the legend that is Steph Curry. Oh my God, it was so attractive. It was outstanding.
Can we just make our best? Okay, let's make our let's put a pin in Steph Curry by just making our best noise that we want to encapsulate how we feel now about Steph Curry, having discussed how we should feel about Steph Curry.
All right.
Okay, Izzy, you go first. I'll go second. Dominique goes third.
Okay. Aww. That's what I felt.
Okay. Huh? This is what I got.
Okay, we're gonna move on to the Celtics. Very mature. Very mature. Let's move on to the Celtics for a bit. I want to hop back to the Warriors dynasty at the end.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do
things to talk about. But I'm gonna skip to the Celtics. And there's some interesting parallels here between, you know, the 2012 Thunder and the Celtics team, namely, you know, the Jason Tatum ascendance. Now he got there and they couldn't quite get over the hump. I think it's really interesting to say this team was flawed in how they executed their offense, but they have so much talent. They're so young, but we know that can be so fleeting in the NBA. Do you expect to see the Celtics team back in the finals?
So I don't know if on the screen behind me, we got to see what Alabaster was implying, which is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I guess Marcus Smart are standing there with their arms around each other, watching with tears sort of like trickling slowly down their cheek.
Really?
Like the Thunder did in 2012
lost
to the Miami Heat. I don't know if that happened, but that's what Alabaster implied. What I want to point out about the Celtics and like how optimistic they should be. The question is like, can you stop the Celtics offense from going from becoming the version of an offense that looks like it's being like undermined by like a cartoon oil slick, you know, like the real slipper, like
Marcus Smart can't stay on his feet. It's like, whoop, 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 and he's always just kind of falling down. Right.
Like that part of it, like, is that actually intrinsic to how the Celtics play offense? Because the thing about the Celtics defense is actually that it was fine. I didn't expect them to do much better against the Warriors offense. What happened, though, is that the Warriors defense benefited from the fact that the Celtics offense kept on turning the ball over, over and over again. They are now 1-8, I believe, when they have more than 15 turnovers. Tonight was one of those nights. And what happens when your offense turns the ball over? The Celtics, you know, their offense gets worse. And so that is part of it, right? This is all about transition,
Dominique.
Live ball opportunities to be.
Dominique was talking about coronation, and this was supposed to be, for some people, a Jason Tatum coronation. And Jason Tatum, like, he cannot escape that performance. He cannot escape that performance. Like, he needs to own up to that, because from the very beginning, he was basically, and like, Dominique said, we had a text thread going, Dominique said he was being aggressive, so that's okay. I was like, I respectfully disagree in my head, because he was only taking open shots. Like, there was one open shot to make the 12-2, the game 12-2, and it was just like, you know, just a wide open three. And, you know, Steve Kerr mentioned it early on. They weren't making the Celtics feel them, and he got a couple open shots. After that, it was essentially just passive basketball, where he was apparently getting credit for being passive. And it didn't, like, you look at Jaylen Brown, and yes, he had the five turnovers. It doesn't seem like he can dribble the ball more than once, and he does seem to sort of always want to go into traffic, but that dude was aggressive, taking shots, and frankly was, you know, 12 of 23 for 34 points. Jason Tatum was not doing that. And again, I'm telling you, I'm not going to go through it because it's boring to watch, but this is an entire list of just plays that he just bumbled from like the second quarter on. And it's just, you can't, with that in combination with Marcus Smart playing like mind-blowingly bad at certain points of this game, I think they're going to have to really address some of the things, because they got this close with some pretty large flaws.
How dare you divulge the stupid thing that I said in our group chat? That was, I think...
No, you were right at the time.
Yeah, I know. That's but you
debatable
did,
at
but
the
you
time.
But you did not present it that way at the time.
No, Dominique,
it was at the end of the first quarter, and I said he was aggressive, and now you're like, you said he was aggressive. I said he was aggressive the whole game.
For the record,
he absolutely was passive.
For the record, Izzy has boxed Dominique into sounding like a presidential slave owner. Judge me by the standards of my time.
Oh, gosh. So
it was a different era.
I do, yeah. The Jason Tatum stuff, like, you can't escape it. You're right. The arguments about, or the criticism that he's going to receive and he has received, is something that just comes with the territory. As far as making it back to the finals, everyone knows you can't guarantee that. And with the way that the East is looking, it's going to be hard. Like, you can't predict what's going to happen with your roster and other people's roster. But at some point, we got to talk about Ime Udoka. So he was incredible for a first-year coach. And
after the finals.
You can't – I don't know who to lay this stuff at the feet of other than him at this point. If we're not – and I know Izzy is not going to stand for Jason Tatum was injured or something like that. But if something like that does not come out, you have to explain to me why Ime Udoka could not find a way to get either get through to him or create opportunities that would get him in the rhythm through the course of six games. You also cannot – you're going to have to explain to me why Ime Udoka's teams stink so bad in the third quarter. Like, they came out of the third quarter in an elimination game. I'm fully expecting them to go back to that play that they ran in the first quarter that yes. ended up getting Tatum the ball on the wing just about unguarded. They didn't run a play. They just, like, passed it around. Oh. It just feels to me like I don't want to hate on him. He's a first-year coach. He's great. He's married to Nia Long. All those things are true. However, he failed them in some areas in this series.
I can't do that, though.
No, Izzy, hold on. But I think it's a conversation worth having, right? Because the offense, and this is to divulge another text from our text thread. Alabaster, you pointed this out, right? No, this was a good one. No, this is a good one from Alabaster because he pointed out, like, the Celtics immediately decided to start posting up Steph and to attack the Warriors that way. And it was working. And then they went away from it, right? And they went away from it because the Celtics offense does the thing where they are a careening car that just does whatever the hell they want, and it spins wildly out of control. That has happened in every single game. Is that because of Ime Udoka, or is that because of the guys running the offense? And Izzy and Alabaster.
No. You don't get to say that. You're the coach of the team. If it happens once, maybe the guys are wilding. It happens twice, okay. It happened the whole series.
I saw multiple times, Dom, where Jason Tatum got the Steph Curry switch and passed it like that. And it's just all Wiggins had to do was like maybe take a half step toward him, and he's giving it up. That's not on Ime.
Okay, can I ask a question? Did you see that in game one?
What's your point?
I mean, my point is
that he's aggressive now than then.
My point is he's been doing that the whole damn series. So either Ime Udoka cannot get through to him, or Ime Udoka does not realize that he needs to do that. Either way, you either get rid of the star, like we're not moving to this point yet, but you either have to blame the star or you have
I'm blaming the star. He's not playing like a star in this game.
So, hold on. I got a question. Can we go into the hypothetical or the imaginary locker room or the film study?
There are so many curses being said right now in that hypothetical locker room. Do you think
over the course of this series that Ime Udoka ever told Jason Tatum the thing that you think he should have told him?
The thing that I think he should have told, that he needs to play aggressive? No, right. I think Ime Udoka probably told him, look, let's play our offense. Let's get off the ball. Let's make sure early on we don't force anything. They were so afraid of turnovers that they're just, hey, let's move the ball. But
I guess my point is that's a failing.
Go ahead.
If you believe that it was obvious that that should have been done, and you believe that Udoka never brought it up to him, then that's a failing by the head coach.
I believe somebody told Jason Tatum in his ear, and if they didn't, it's a failure. You need to carry us for a moment, for a quarter, for a half. You need to lead the way, and he didn't. Jaylen Brown did.
So in the box over here, we're blaming the coach. In the box down here, we're blaming the star. In the box down here, Alabaster, the question that I have in terms of the Celtics offense, right, is that they're kind of an offense without a real point guard.
Yes.
Marcus Smart is the guy that they've relied on. Marcus Smart happens to be one of the cartoon characters running off of the canyon only to realize that there's no, like, ground beneath him. How much of that, as a basketball nerd, I'm curious what you think, is part of the story too?
Well, I actually think that this is pretty illustrative of the Jason Tatum problem, is that they basically made Jason Tatum do superstar stuff. You have to do our playmaking. You have to make our decisions. You have to run our offense. And quite frankly, he doesn't have a fully refined post game yet. He has improved a ton as a passer and a ball handler, but he's not a great true playmaking point forward yet. And I don't know if there's a coaching adjustment that puts him against the Warriors defense that was also a top five defense in the league to succeed in that sort of, like, isolating role. And the one other thing I want to push back on, Dominique, is, like, the Celtics are not unique in this of getting crushed by the Warriors in third quarters. We've been seeing this for 7 years. Steve Kerr comes out and Steph Curry comes out and they kill people in the third quarters. Like, I don't know if you put that on Udoka. Like, that's Kerr and Curry and Thompson's thing.
I can blame Udoka for ending the third quarter on a run with their best player, Al Horford, and then starting the fourth quarter, resting him on the bench, I guess, presumably for the finish. Like, why are you changing anything? So, I mean, if we are going to – see, my issue with this is I think that the Celtics – and maybe this is my own bias. I think the Celtics had more talent and was a deeper, more – a better team. So
I agree with that.
If you have the better, so I don't understand how the coach can escape. What are we doing here? I just saw your pale white thumbs as if you agreed with me. So yeah, how are
but
we
there's
absolving?
Also Steph Curry.
So hold on. How are we absolving the head coach of the losing team, the more talented team, absolving him of any? Like, I'm not here to bash Ime Udoka. I just thought that he deserved a tiny bit of criticism, and y'all all caping up like. Like he was out there with the Washington Generals.
I think the bottom line, Dominique, is who do you blame for all of the turnovers? That to me is maybe the most simplistic way to view how we're going to assign responsibility here. Is it because of the players? Is it because of the coach? Is it because they don't have a point guard? Is it because I don't think
Izzy looks like he has an answer.
Is the answer, but Izzy seems like he has an answer.
Well, I look, if your big three are Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, two of those three showed their worst tonight. Like, Marcus defensively was just not good, was just flopping all over the place. Offensively was not good, questionable effort in the fourth period, in the fourth quarter. And all this is going to do in Boston is just rev up all those fears, because they've been scared of this version of Marcus Smart for years. They've blamed Marcus Smart for a lot. They've tried to trade Marcus Smart. Yeah. Danny Ainge definitely messed around with that. And, you know, they decided, hey, he's our heart. He's going to stay here. But he is not a point guard necessarily. And again, they almost got there. And a lot of people picked them to get there with him at that spot. So it's really hard to say you got to move him or you got to rearrange the lineup and see if, you know, maybe you can get another point guard in there. But I think it's absolutely true, because I do think that Jason Tatum deserves a little bit more of an easy shot possibility every once in a while. And, you know, he didn't have the ball in the post very much, even though I saw Steph Curry strip him twice down there. But he should get more looks down there. He shouldn't have to, for all the credit that he gets for having all these long arms, it's hard to drive through, you know, five sets of arms with long arms and legs and, you know, be able to get to the basket. So he's got to start down there a little bit more. So I think Marcus Smart's lack of, you know, point guard ability is, or natural point guard skills, is pretty much a little bit of a problem too.
I mean, and also, like, I think you expect, we think of point guards a lot like we think of quarterbacks in football, and like you expect them to be able to manage the game. And it seems like they struggle, again, to use a football analogy, is like they struggle in those pivotal moments where you need to make decisions. Like those high leverage moments where it's about your smarts and your poise more than it's about your athleticism or your scheme. And the point guard is supposed to be the guy who calms you down in those moments. And they don't have one. They've never had one. And that's fine. But also, they had a lot of talent. The coach needs to prevail with that talent.
I'm just remembering that Dominique said this series was over like last week after five games. And now I'm realizing
Draymond?
Why he's
we
so mad.
We're not going to talk about Draymond? Draymond.
We should talk about how did okay.
Oh, we got plenty of time. We just got a clock boost right there. The Drake album just dropped and I got to do 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's go
playing that.
Let's go on to the Warriors dynasty here, because that gets into Draymond and his resurgence. But
it does get into Drake.
This is fantastic and juicy. What the Warriors, who have always been light years ahead, that they pulled this off. But it's also fascinating what they're going to do moving forward. They're still a team that's both tethered to the past and the future with their old core and their gaggle of young assets. And they're inching closer to a hard cap. And they're inching closer to maybe having to make a tough decision between Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, and Draymond's contract after next year. And my question for you all is, where do you think the Warriors dynasty goes from here?
I would like to posit a theory about all of the financial constrictions that the Warriors are going to face. They're not going to be that constricting, because Joe Lacob is the ideal sort of psychopath rich guy who's going to be like, I would love to pay $450 million to keep Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole and Gary Payton II and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and everyone. I just think that's – Like Brian Windhorst,
that would be a really terrible decision.
$450 million with luxury tax. Yeah,
they're duffel bags ahead, is what it is at this point. Like, and that's fine. Like, that's exactly what you want from a team that has dynasty potential. You got to spend.
But I don't think I'll be. I think we're prisoners of the moment again. This team, I don't believe, has dynasty potential. Like, none of us thought they were going to make it to the finals before the playoffs started. So stop it. This is not.
If they bring
back this core again next year, we're not talking about them like this is going to be another 3 or 4 year run.
It knows it has to improve. This team knows it has to improve, and they still won a title. And like, you got Jonathan Kuminga, you got Moody, that are players that maybe they can They've got play, and so they probably will, and they probably will find ways.
James Wiseman is somehow still
Wiseman
just
exactly
hanging around.
And they've got, I mean, Jordan Poole in a place where he just figured out a way to stay on the floor, even though he was like a defensive liability at times. Oh, thanks for the update. And yet he's going to be probably a regular, you know, contributor, obviously, especially in the regular season. That guy might have huge numbers. So I think as long as, you know, they got to play the keep Steph healthy game throughout the regular season. And when they get to the playoffs, as long as we're at this level, we're at that point, as long as he is healthy entering a playoffs, that team with any sort of reasonable amount of talent around him is going to be a finals candidate.
Whoa. Alabaster.
So I'm going to have a few follow-up questions here, but like, one, you can't give another max contract to a Clay or Draymond Green. I mean, that just seems silly, but, you know, Joe Lacob might be the guy to do it. But the big question I have is, it does seem like they're teetering on dynasty potential again. And do you cash in the chips? Do you cash in Kuminga, who looked like he could be a future start? Do you cash in Moses Moody? Do you cash in James Wiseman? Do you try and acquire someone in their salary slots that could be, you know, a fifth all-star level guy, because Andrew Wiggins is an all-star starter this year. Like, that is possible. They could be.
And I also wonder if a fourth title gives the potential of like a discount from Draymond Green or Clay to keep making things work, you know, even though I don't think Draymond probably thinks that way, but
I hope not.
Well,
yeah.
Draymond already gave him a discount, I believe, on the last deal. I mean, relatively speaking,
Steph's been on a discount, right?
Yep.
Until recently, yeah. So I guess that was the point that I was making, is you are arguing that they could bring everybody back and that's a dynasty. That's not a dynasty. The answer to your question, or the roster they have now, is not dynastic in my view. Like, this was a great season, but as I said before, no one expected them to, and we don't feel like they're going to become new players next season. I do think that whenever the question is, do we play for the future or do we play for now because we have a window now, you don't have to look very far. Look at the Celtics. The answer is yes. Always play for now, because the Celtics was always the team that was building and building and building and had all the assets. So I feel like if, especially a player like Steph Curry, you will never get another player like that. So if trading away some potential stars in the future means that you can build another dynasty around Steph Curry, the answer to me is obviously yes.
To answer your question, I do think they attempt to cash in on a lot of those pieces, because they just become the new version of LeBron, where everybody wants to play there. I mean, LeBron himself said he would love to play with Steph Curry.
Those are where the discounts will come. Exactly. The title chasing veterans who are going to want to join up, because Dominic, you are right. And by the way, if I don't think Joe Lacob needs this motivational speech, but like, dude, you're taking none of this with you into the afterlife. Like, what else are you waiting for? Like, you have a window right now. It is open. And I don't, to Dominique's point, I don't think it is a foregone conclusion that the Warriors are going to run over the entire league next year. I do not think that is assured. I would not be surprised to see the Warriors favored to win the title, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion next year. But I think if the window is at all open and you have these players, what the hell else are you waiting for? I mean, the whole thing of wanting to do both, the present and the future, when you have four titles in 8 years, concentrate on the ones most immediately available to you.
It doesn't work. You can't do both at the same time. And I mean, you're to my point about Steph Curry, like, you're not the Lakers. You're not going to get another one of these. Like, this just doesn't happen to any other organization. And it's not like they drafted them all. They trade for them. Like, you're not going to get another one of these. The Bulls got Jordan. They've never seen anything before or after that's like it. The idea that you're like, oh, no, let's build for Moody in the future. Kuminga could be a star. Like, if somebody wants Kuminga and they're going to give me someone that can contribute on a championship level now, because how many minutes did he play in this series? Zero? then you make that trade.
So he did play a little bit, but I mean, like, I do think it's worth noting. They drafted Steph. They drafted Klay. They drafted Draymond. They drafted Jordan Poole. Kuminga, I mean, to me, he actually looks like someone who could be an all-star in a few years. He's a pretty special athlete. But I think the counter to this is a quote that Bill Belichick lives by that came by Arsene Wenger, the old manager at Arsenal, who said he tries to manage his team like he's going to manage it for 100 years. And I know that Joe Lacob, you know, light years ahead guy, more than 100 years. But, like, if he thinks he can continue to have the infrastructure to pluck all-stars, even without historic players, like, why not try and be the Spurs? They had a run for 20 years with Tim Duncan.
Because you name one team. You use two Hall of Fame coaches to bolster a bullshit quote. Like, stop it.
Stop it. Of the coaches.
I know.
This is his actual quote.
Yeah, I know. And you needed two people, and I still don't believe it. So the reason why that's stupid is because the implication is that you are better at drafting than anyone else. And the coach you're talking about is Bill Belichick. He is not better than drafting anyone else. You could argue he's worse at drafting than anyone else. And it's just arrogance, I think. It's a guy who says he's light years ahead believes that he also can pick the next Steph Curry.
Well, and to Dominique's point, I mean, I cannot believe we've gotten to arguing about the New England Patriots and who is more responsible for their dynastic run, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. But I think that parallel does kind of add up here, right? Like, the reason why that run happened was because Tom Brady played 20 bleeping years. On a discount. So will Steph Curry end up doing that? Maybe. I think if anybody, by the way, can age into that where he's, like, going to be a useful guy, you know, when he's 40, I think Steph's game is very plausibly the best among all of the superstars that are going right now.
When in your mind, we'll get down the last 2 minutes here, when does he pass Kobe in your mind, or has he already? Because I know for a lot of people he hasn't. I think he has. Yeah. I know the 5 rings for Kobe is a big number. It's one more than 4, but I think he has. And I think if you sort of think in those terms, like, I don't know, I think it just kind of changes a little bit of how you think about it. Because I think a lot of people think, well, I mean, a lot of probably younger fans probably would have thought Kobe.
We should have teased that on social. We're making Steph better than Kobe tonight. We would have gotten so much interaction and engagement.
All engagement isn't good engagement.
We'd have gotten bomb threats, but also a ton of engagement.
Yeah, I'm good on that. It's like the Dolphins to a tweet. I bet their social media manager is like, but look at all the engagement. No thanks.
Alabaster, are you trying to weigh in on the Kobe versus Steph debate?
I'll just say it. Steph is better than Kobe was and was before this game. Yeah, and I'm sorry. Sorry to Jason Tatum if you're listening.
It's not a hot take.
The only thing that kills me about that is, like, there was a good span there where I thought that Kobe was just, like, Jordan level defense and, if you know, ability. And you can never, ever, ever say anything defensively about Steph other than, dang, he tries. Yeah. And so that part is, for measurables, it's still got to be Steph, yeah.
Can I read a text from our colleague and friend Spencer Hall, who sent us a tweet that read this? Quote, gotta think that Golden State's promising roster makes them a prime landing spot for Kevin Durant when he tries to force himself out of Brooklyn.
Thank you for that addition to the show. I don't think the transfer portal is open, but I think he would be a nice addition to any roster because he's probably the best player.
If Jimmy Butler makes that shot, the Miami Heat probably beat the Warriors, right? We didn't get to that subject.
No.
Are we all just going to spout the cliches that we love to say on Debatable? Are we going to do that?
Man, we made this a good show off of a poop series.
I feel proud. Are we going to sign yearbooks now? This is the end of our, like, late night after dark.
We'll be back.
We're not doing this for the World Series or for the rest of the Stanley Cup.
The name of a strip club that James Harden
owns. Oh, no.